Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
It is well known that we are a great voice championing the cause and the voice of women here on Open House. And when we hear this phrase, wisdom for women, you've got our attention. Debbie Bryson is passionate about encouraging women and works to share the Christian faith in such a way that anyone from a troubled teen to a lonely widow can find hope. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, though it costs you all you have. Get understanding. Debbie says by gaining wisdom and having a real relationship with God, women can live with purpose, meaning, comfort, and happiness. Debbie's the founder of Bible Bus Stop Ministries. We'll find out about that too. Debbie Bryson, welcome to Open House.
Thank you so much. It's so exciting to be here.
It's wonderful to meet you, Debbie. Thanks so much for coming in. Your passion for women is driven by what?
I'm sure it's driven by God. And I think the greatest answer to that is that God has a great heart for women. One of the introductory statements of his feeling toward women was that he looked down on man that he had created in this wonderful, perfect world, and he said, it's not good for man to dwell alone. My experience is it usually isn't pretty either. So he created women to be the softness and the beauty and the tenderness. And yet this world can be very harsh to a woman's soul. And many women are broken and wounded by the things of this life.
And that includes the church as well, because the church has not always done well with women.
Mm.
And many end up quite alienated from the church and therefore Christian faith. How's that happened?
Well, that's a good question, because Jesus was especially sensitive to women. And some of the most powerful moments in the Gospels were moments with women, where he made beelines specifically to talk to them, to heal them, to give them comfort and hope, to affirm them. And he had a circle of women that traveled with him, actually. And even his choice of coming to this earth, when God came to this earth to show us how much he loves people, he chose to come through a woman, through a mother. And that's a powerful statement all by itself.
You've done so much work looking into the heart and the mind of women. You say that they can often be susceptible and a target. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Sometimes we look at this world and we look at people and we think, what's wrong with us? Why are things so broken? Well, we must go to the beginning chapters of the book of Genesis, and God explains that in this perfect world, he had given man a choice. And we as human beings, he put eternity in our hearts. But he also gave us the power of choice. And in that perfect atmosphere, there is an enemy. There is an enemy of our souls. As we know, the Bible states clearly that the devil and Satan he's real. It's not an imaginary force. It's a real personality. He came to the woman and beguiled her and took the core of truth, twisted and distorted it, and fed her a lie. She bought the lie. And the consequences are that women we still will buy the lie. And when we buy into misconceptions about God, about life, about ourselves, it only comes destruction to us.
Do you think it's a bigger challenge for a young woman to grow into a woman who's comfortable in herself, comfortable in God today?
I think there's been many generations that it's very difficult, but what I see right now, Lee, is that it's like life is this huge bridge crossing a huge body of water or a big cliff. And what has happened in our society, really around the world and in my country, the United States, as well as yours, is that the guardrails of this huge bridge of life have been entirely knocked off. It's under the guise of freedom And yet it's left these young girls to navigate a path that has huge consequences for falling off the edge of, and yet there's no protection to keep her safe. Dabbling in the edges and then the depths of promiscuity and the consequences of abortion, broken relationships. A woman's soul is designed by God to be nurtured and safe. And it's like throwing her to the wolves.
What are the guardrails about which you speak? And how can you have guardrails that protect you and yet not restrict you or cramp your life as a woman?
We're so afraid of restrictions and limitations, and yet, oh, how we love our car seats for our children.
Yes.
And I see that children now, unlike when I raised my daughter many years ago, car seats were flimsy and they weren't even required. And so children could stand up next to the driver in the front seat of the car. That was dangerous. When we saw so many children being injured, then the law mandated car seats. And children accept it so readily now, they accept this restraint. And yet, don't we realize that without restraints, that the soul then gets thrown through the windshield in certain situations? Boundaries from God are a loving father would always say to a child, don't play on the freeway. Is that harsh and restrictive? Absolutely not. An unloving, uncaring parent doesn't even know where his child is. So I think we have to rethink this tolerance that we have with no boundaries.
So what are some of the restrictions that women actually need to grow into those well-adjusted women?
That's the word of God. God speaks so clearly through his word and through the many things that he says. And there's thou shalt not, certainly. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, are those old-fashioned? Are those, again, prohibitive from a mean, restrictive God? Well, let's stand on the other side of that. I would like everybody else in my world to obey those rules. Life for me would certainly be better if people didn't lie to me, if people didn't steal from me. And again, it's an expression of God's love, not his restraint. Some people feel like if God ever got his hands on their life, that he would put them in a chair and tie them up. I find that exactly the opposite is true. When I place my trust in him, Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundant.
How did it play out in your life? You grew up, you say you believed God was real, but never read your Bible or went to church.
Well, I grew up in what I would call a nominal Christian home. We affirmed the existence of God, and sometimes we went to church, and I actually had a Bible. It was a little white Bible with a zipper on it. I don't recall ever unzipping the Bible, but I did have one. But then when I became a teenager, life is complicated for a teenager in any generation. You have emotions, you have pressures, you have interests. And the little storybook, Jesus, wasn't quite big enough and quite present enough to me to make a relevant difference in my life. And then I went to college and took a class on philosophy of world religion. And the first day of the class, the teacher held up a Bible and said, does anyone believe in this book? Well, I held up my hand because I had a little white zipper Bible. And he said, it's my stated view that at the end of this class, no one will believe in this book. Because all of religion is about you. You are the center of the universe. Well, I was 18, and actually I did think I was the center of the universe, as most 18-year-old girls think. I was trying to convince my parents that I was the center of my world. But anyway, I got the top grade in that class, immediately dropped out of college, took all the money I'd ever saved in my life, and moved to the depths of the tropics of Mexico and traveled for the next 2 years. And, you know, pursued every pursuit that was open to a young girl at that time. And at the end of 2 years, I was back in the tropics and had spent 2 weeks in this amazing jungle atmosphere where there were boa constrictors and amazing birds and sunsets. And I walked along the beach one sunset, and it was so dynamic, so powerful. I fell to my knees and I said, God, I know you must be real, and I don't know you. And a week later, an old high school friend walked straight toward me and said, you are looking for Jesus. And I just said, oh, I am so far beyond Jesus. I know about Buddha and Hindu, and I am fulfilled now. And as I said those words, I was thinking, Debbie, you are such a moron. You are so lost. You are so desperate. You have made so many mistakes. All of the religion that you've sought and people that said they had these religions were as empty and hopeless as you. But a month later, I came across some people that shared the gospel with me, the complete story. And I said, God, I don't know why you would want me, but I'm desperate for you. And I accepted him into my life. I woke up the next morning and I thought, I hope this is real. I was driving down the street and I said, God, are you real? Did you come into my life? If you did, would you show me a sign? I turned on the radio and immediately there was a song called Put Your Hand in the Hand of the One Who Calmed the Waters. And it was one of those little God moments. And people don't sometimes realize how personal God is. And one of my favorite scriptures has become Jeremiah 33:3, where God himself says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and wonderful things that you do not know.
And as the dynamo that you are, you went on to found Bible Bus Stop Ministries. Explain that title to us, Debbie.
All right, I will. A Bible bus. Many people might think, well, that's an odd little name. Well, here's my experience after becoming a Christian. I, like many Christians, thought, well, I'll read the Bible, of course. And I did, randomly. Actually, I read most of the time the Ouija board method. Do you know what that method
is?
You randomly open the Bible. What should I read today? And one day it'll be Job, the next day a Psalm, the next day. But it's all out of context, where you don't read sequentially. And someone happened to, it was right after the one-year Bible printed by Tyndale was just released. And someone had it at my house. I took a look and I thought, wow, this Bible is laid out a little Old Testament, a little New Testament, a Psalm and a Proverb every day. I could see it would only take about 20 minutes. It would keep you on track. It would be like a journey. And I thought, I think I'm going to try this. And I wasn't consistent every day for the first year or two. But then I became just madly in love, where I could see that God was changing me. I was learning so much of him. And I really call it the journey to the heart of God. And a lot of people think that the relationship with God has to be generated from our side of the equation, but it's exactly the opposite, where God is a speaking God, and he has so much to say, and it's personal, living, and powerful. And so the bus takes us on that journey.
And a particular stop off on that journey that's been very important for you is Proverbs.
Yes.
I think it's a vastly underrated book in terms of modern Christian thought and practice. There is such wisdom there. And that's where you get wisdom for women. It's a one-year devotional that you've written. Why Proverbs for you?
Well, instantly, when I became a Christian, I was 20 years old. And as I said, I realized that I had lived a foolish life, very foolish. And I discovered the Proverbs and I thought, this is profound. This is amazing.
It is.
But the difficulty of reading the Proverbs is that they change topics so often. So you'll read three verses on one topic on, say, the use of our tongue, and then you shift gears to the use of your money, and you shift gears to the dealing with enemies. And so you can't logically sit down and read a chapter or two and really feel like you've gone deep. You're just sliding along the surface. And so I've always been drawn to them and found that it was very difficult. I never found a good study to go through the Proverbs. Maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I was in Alaska, and a pastor's wife and I took a walk, and in the middle of the walk, she stopped me, and she said, "Debbie, you do not realize what it's like here for Alaska women. Alaska is a hard place to live. Alaska men, they're hard. You have to write something for the radio, and we have a radio station, and we will put it on the radio." And at that time, I was traveling a lot, speaking at conferences, and I stopped and I looked at her and I said, "I am absolutely not going to do that. Absolutely not. I am busy. I don't like my voice on the radio. I'm not going to do that." Well, we kept walking. About 10 minutes later, we were at our destination. The radio program had a name, Wisdom for Women, and it had a format, the proverb for the day and the one-year Bible. And she had connected me with her engineer for her radio station. And now Wisdom for Women is a daily radio program, a two-minute devotional, aired on stations as far away from my home state of California to the East Coast, up in Maine, down in Belize, in Jerusalem. So many parts of our country, the United States, and around the world.
What's it give women, do you think, Debbie?
It gives women practical, rubber-meet-the-road kind of, this is what God says, guardrails.
Yeah.
Guardrails, not restrictive to tie you up and not let you.
I was going to say, it's not something that prevents you from flourishing as a person.
Quite the opposite.
Yes.
Think of our bridge again, Lee. Think of driving across a bridge. You're going to the destination. Don't you want to arrive safely? Guardrails.
Yes, thanks.
Are a good thing.
Yeah.
And so the Proverbs just hits a woman's life. How should we spend our money? How do we deal with our mother-in-law? What do we do when our husband and I disagree? So things that really are relevant to a woman's life. It deals with our children. It deals with our womanhood. It deals with what is beautiful and what is ugly.
It sounds great to me.
Thank you.
You're in Australia with your group, and very much part of your group is music. You're going to take us out with one song. Tell us about that, Debbie.
Yes, my good friend Eva Fry has a song called Kindness. One of the lines is, "Lord, you're patient with me when I am looking down and when I get turned around." And Lee, that really does address us as women. Sadly, we do get down. And when we do get down, we get pushed down. And so this song is very powerful, and I'm excited about you playing it. It's called Kindness.
Debbie, thank you so much indeed for joining us. Let's
You're
have a
welcome.
Listen now. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. patient with me. When I am looking down and I get turned around, you're never angry with me. With my hands on my ears, you still call out to me. It's your kindness that draws me, kindness that leads me. Your kindness causes me to fall down on my knees. It's your kindness that draws me, kindness that leads me. Your kindness causes me to fall down on my knees. You're Abba Father to me. As your child, I know you still discipline me. You're never harsh with me. Though I rejected you, still you gave your life for me. It's your kindness that draws me, kindness that leads me. Your kindness causes me to fall down on my knees. It's your kindness that draws me, kindness that leads me. Your kindness causes me to fall down on my knees. You pick me up,
pick me up,
turn me round,
turn me round.
You pick me up,
turn me round when I'm looking down.
You pick me up,
pick me up,
turn me round,
turn me round.
You pick me up,
turn me round
when I'm looking down. You pick draws me, kindness that leads me. Your kindness causes me to fall down on my knees. It's your kindness that draws me, kindness that leads me. Your kindness causes me to fall down on my knees. It's your kindness that draws me, your kindness that leads me. Your kindness causes me to fall down on my knees. It's your kindness that draws me, kindness that leads me. Your kindness causes me to fall down on my
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.